Will you turn with me now to the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 10? Hebrews and chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 19. And the reason why we read there from Luke chapter 23 was because it makes mention of the tearing and the opening of the way into the holy place, the veil that was rent, the curtain that was torn when Jesus died. And in verse 19 and onwards, for our meditation this morning, we're going to see something of the significance of it. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 19 then. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so on. And what I want to single out, the one thought to challenge and to comfort us this morning, is the way in which we are there told to hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Holding on to something that we've got or been given. Now, life today seems to fly past us quicker and quicker. And our ability to remember things gets weaker and weaker. We forget things so quickly. We are distracted by other things going on round about us. Priorities come into our lives even now and begin to dictate and to dominate us. The things of past year or even the past week begin to slip out of our mind and the influence they have on our lives. Or again, things that we become so familiar with, they are regular a part of our life. They're part of the routine of daily or weekly living. But because we're so familiar with them, they lose their effect upon us and we get used to them. And then, of course, there's always the activity of the devil whenever there's spiritual issues at risk and at stake. There is what I can best describe his work, the spiritual Teflon. Spiritual Teflon. You know the way in which the advert goes for Teflon pans, the non-stick pans with a non-stick surface. Well, that's the effect the devil wants to have with us, the non-stick surface of our soul and our lives. So whatever we receive, all he wants is that it passes off and slips by us. And that, of course, makes us forget all so quickly. Now, what am I saying all this for? Why? Well, the communion services are already a week past us. What of the services, how much of them do we remember? How much of them have we forgotten? Distracted by things, letting things slip, becoming familiar with things. We try to fix these things, the communion services, we try to fix them in our minds. We've got the tapes ministry, and anyone who wants to hear and refresh themselves with some of the services, they're there. Take them, use them. There's the service we had with the gathering of the fragments last Wednesday night when we went over again briefly all the services. But you know, there's something more than just simply the words that were used. There's something more than just simply the truth that is conveyed. Every service, the communion services and this one and every other service we've been at. It's a whole mix of personal circumstances, of our own emotions and experiences. There's our own circumstances, and then there's the spiritual challenges that come to us. We have all of these things going on in our mind and in our life. Now, what's happening to them? The communion service concentrates our mind on spiritual privilege and comfort and challenge. We come in the communion service, especially the evangelistic service, we come to a crossroads. A crossroads that comes into our lives, not just simply on that occasion, but days like today. There's a special focus upon the gospel message. There's a special focus upon the simple ABC of the gospel truth. God is putting us on the spot. God is speaking to us. We are alone with God. That's what happened last week, and that's what's happening now here again. The sermon stops us in our tracks. Life, we've planned it, and we're following through our hopes and our dreams. We've got perhaps a lot of order, and we've got a lot of things packed into our days. And we just want to get on with it. But then something like today comes along. And God breaks through all of these layers and all of these things that we've put down. And God breaks in to speak to you and to me. And the only thing that he says that's important that we need to hold on to is the gospel message. The only hope we've got is in Jesus Christ the Savior. And God requires of us that we repent. God requires of us that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message we keep hearing. Not just simply at the communion service, but we hear it every time we come to the gospel message like we're doing now. But we ask the question, how much of it are we letting slip out of our lives? How much of what we've heard have we forgotten? How much are we holding on to? You see, the text is speaking to us. And not only is the Bible reminding us of the things that God is telling us, but the Bible is also challenging us what we're doing with it. Are we holding on to it? But not only do we have that teaching given to us here, but we've also got a very simple example of what that means in daily life. And I want you simply for 1 minute to think of Mary. Mary, who went to the tomb, and she saw things, and she heard the message of what had happened there at the tomb, and it was empty, and the angels had come and told her amazing things. And we're told that Mary pondered these things in her mind. What does that mean? It means that she went over them again. She went back over the things she heard, and she recalled the things she had seen. Have we ever done that about what happened here last week? To recall the scene of the table spread, to remember the things that were said in all the different services that we had. Well, Mary was pondering. She was listening again and again and again to what God was saying to her. So we have this text, and we have the example of Mary, And both of these things come at us this morning. And they're teaching us to hold on to. Hold on to what God is telling us. Hold on to the experiences that God gives us. Or we want to put it right round the other way. Here is God challenging us through this text and through the life of Mary. He is challenging us. What are we doing? What have we done with so many services that we've heard? And particularly the service of last week. What have we done with what God has given us and told us? Hold fast. Well, how are we going to break that down? And how are we going to apply that in a gospel way to ourselves this morning? Well, what did we see and hear last week exactly? What was it we saw portrayed and pictured for us? What was the description given to us of what took place here last week? The first thing I want to say clearly and plainly is that we have access for sinners. What does the Bible tell us? And what does the Bible and the table of communion say to us? Remember the way in which part of the service we have the fencing of the table. And it was explained to us, it tells those who should be there and those who shouldn't. And those that should be there have this access, this entry into God's presence. And when you go back to the book of Genesis, to the Garden of Eden, you'll find there that there's disobedience after Adam had sinned. And Adam is excluded from the presence of God. Whenever God is close by, Adam is afraid. And he's afraid and he's scared of meeting with God. The same as we are. We throw ourselves into life. We're busy with as much as we can pack into our days. We seek to distract our minds even when we've got time off. We don't want our minds left in neutral. There's always something that we want to be busy with. Sooner or later the truth comes home to us. We are on the outside. And we're on the outside because we're sinners. How can we enter in and how can we have peace? Is there any prospect of peace at all? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God who knows us, who probes us, who examines us, who ultimately will judge us. That's a prospect that fills us with fear and terror. And there's no protection. And there's no escape. And there's no substitute that we can think of that'll stand in for us or cover us. But then we hear what the gospel says. The gospel tells us the most amazing and the most astonishing thing. It tells us of God's great grace and love in providing what we don't have. He provides his Son. And his Son gives his life so that there is a way of access. There is a way of entry in before God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, we're told in verse 19, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What an astonishing thing that is, that God has done and is telling us about. There's no other confidence that we can have. The biggest problem of sin in our life is a problem that won't go away. It only gets worse. And no matter how we might try to solve it or to address it, to get rid of it or to cover it, everything ultimately will disintegrate at the last moment. And it's still there to confront us, to threaten us. But there is an answer. And that's what we're given and told of. It was set out for us at the table when the bread was broken. And the wine is poured out, representing the broken body and the poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us of his death, a death in which he paid the penalty that was due to sinners for their sin. He took it to himself so that they might never have to face it themselves. That's the beauty, that's the center, that's the essence of this gospel message. There's so much that we can say quite properly. There's so much teaching that we're given in the Bible that's appropriate for life today to help us as a nation and as a people. There's so much that we can learn for our good. But let's not be distracted even by these good things. Let's remember the very center of it all. Let's remember the very focus of this gospel message. The gospel tells us about a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us what he's done for sinners, that we can have an access. We can have an entry. That we can come and sit in the company of God, without fear or terror accompanying us. That's why here in this passage in Hebrews, it's described as a new and a living way. It's different from what happened before. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself giving his life, laying it down in the place of and instead of others. Nobody's been there before. Nobody has ever done this before. It's a new, but it's a living way. Yes, it meant the death of Jesus Christ. He died, taking the penalty for sin of sinners. But if it meant his death, it also brings life, spiritual life, to his own people. Hold fast. Don't let anyone steal these thoughts out of your hand, out of your mind. Instead, make them the possession of your soul. Hold fast to them. But that's just the beginning, because that's the statement of the gospel truth. It doesn't stop there, because the gospel is always personal. There's always the involvement of you and me with this message. And that's what it comes on to speak about here. Having therefore, brethren, let us enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We are confronted with this gospel message. God is speaking to us, but he is also challenging us. He is requiring of us that we trust in him. He is setting us aside and alone and apart. Here this morning, we've come as families, we're amongst friends. But here, as God is speaking with us and dealing with us, we're alone. He is telling us what he requires from us to do. He is telling us to trust in him, put our faith and our hope and our confidence, make that profession of faith in him. There is so much that tangles us up. We hear this past week of the pollution that there is upon the beaches of Scotland, and especially of nets, bits of nets that can go around a fish and they can squeeze the fish tight. You can even see the mark as the fish grows of where the net has been. There's so much that tangles us up just like that. But we're called here this morning to balance things up. On the one side, we set all the spiritual issues of your life and mine, of our spiritual destiny, of our soul status, of our relationship with God. And on the other side, we set out what people will say, the pressure of society, the priorities that we have in our own lives. And we come, perhaps in this service or on the communion service or another service, and we've come to a new discovery. We've come and we've learned something about ourselves for the very first time, and it's astonishing, it's amazing what God has been teaching us and telling us. We discover something about His love that we've never known before. And as we were thinking about just a fortnight ago, God says to us, come, for all things are now ready. Everything is in place. Everything is perfect and everything is finished. And there you have this balance. And the Lord is saying, as we look at our spiritual things, come, for all things are now ready. Stand up and stand out on the side of Christ. But we've let things slip. We've neglected things too long. These spiritual issues that have come to us at other times, crashing into our lives, things that we've once known, we've now sidelined them. We've neglected them. We've allowed them to pass from us on other occasions. But now, here today, this morning, God is speaking to us in the light of that past behavior, of all the experience, the good things and the slipping and such like. Suddenly, in this service, our relationship with God is back at the front of our mind and our lives. And He calls on us to affirm. He calls on us, He requires of us that we put our hope in Him. There are so many different passages of our Bible that we can look at and read and refer to, which help us. It's far better to remember God's word than anything a man might say. Proverbs 29 and 25 tells us, the fear of man sets a snare. We can be sometimes so concerned to look over our shoulders at what people think that we're not looking above our heads as to what God thinks. Not only that, but there's so many different encouragements. Isaiah 45 and 17, verse 19, where there the prophet is telling us, it's not a vain thing to seek God. Yes, there'll be obstacles and troubles in your way as you try and as you walk down that path seeking after God. But there is a tremendous blessing in knowing Him. It's not an empty thing to follow God. People will tell us that day after day. But they're only telling it because they're empty themselves. When we trust in God and when we trust in Jesus Christ for ourselves, He gives us that fullness of life that we've never ever had before. He's calling us to trust in Him. Don't let that opportunity slip. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here we're told, do it boldly. Do it boldly. We read part of our reading, not only the veil that was torn, but at the very end of that chapter in Luke's Gospel, we had the example of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And they came out on the side of Jesus after his death to perform the burial rites for him. They took a tremendous step because there was nobody there identifying or helping Jesus. And it was a tremendous, bold step they made and took to profess the Lord. And their lives challenge us to do the same. Hold on to that challenge that you've heard from the Lord. Hold on to that example of Joseph and Nicodemus. Don't let their examples and don't let their challenge fall away, be covered up, diluted, or distracted in our lives. Hold on to it. Hold on, because it's what we need. It's what we need for our life today. Today, Christian things are discounted. Today, Christian preaching is set to one side. Today, each man does what is right in his own eyes. To be a Christian, we're under attack just simply because we're different. But we're to hold fast. Nobody pries it out of our fingers. Because not only is it good for us, but it's also good for our society. There are things going on round about us today that challenge what challenge God's word and what God has said to us. People are prepared to take God on. And we've got to hold fast, yes, to ourselves, but also hold fast in letting people know what we believe and what we've trusted and what we've tested and what we know satisfies us. And as it satisfies us, so it will do the same for others. Remember the words that we had again just a fortnight ago from Moses as they were preparing to leave Sinai, and he said to Hobab, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for God has spoken good concerning Israel." Yes, to associate and to identify and to travel with God's people is the blessing that Moses was setting before Hobab. So also with ourselves. We've tasted and tried that we speak that the Lord is good. He's met the needs of our soul and He's given us peace. And what we've got and what we've experienced, we know that others lack it and they need it. And so we seek to share with them. Hold it fast. Hold it to ourselves. And hold it out to others. And then one last simple thought about holding on to something. Notice what it says here in verse 23. He is faithful that has promised. Hold on to what you've discovered about God. He is utterly reliable. Remember the very first service we had on the Thursday morning, and we had Mr. McInnes drawing our attention to Isaiah 55. God's word shall not return to him void, but accomplish that which he has, the purpose to which he has sent it. God does not need to withdraw his word. God does not need to take it back. God is not ashamed of what he has said, but what God has said, God will do. He is utterly reliable. He's never failed. He's never been untrue. He's never disappointed. When we have a promise, when we have a text, when we have something in our hand and in our soul, God has said, I will do this, that, or the next thing. If we've got a passage like that, we hold on to it. And God will not let us down. Especially if that promise is concerning forgiveness of sin. If it concerns the death of Jesus Christ, God is saying to us, hold on to it. Again, the experience of people is a good incentive to us to set side by side with the principle of God's word. And this time I want to take the example of Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. An old man. He's been through the mill. He's been through battles. He's been through so many conflicts, and every one of them he's had the Lord with them, and he's put the Lord to the test, to the mark, to the line, time and time and time again. And now he's coming to the end of his days, and what does he say to these others who are now going out to encourage them? Yes, he says, hold fast, God is faithful. And then he puts in this, he says, not one word. Not one word that God has given to us has fallen to the ground unfulfilled. Now that's a comprehensive and an absolute statement. God is faithful. If you've got nothing left but God's word to hold on to, a gospel promise, he will forgive our sins. A simple promise like that, then hold on to it. Because we're told here, God is faithful. He is committed to his people, and his reputation is on the line and at risk with every promise he's made. And all it needs is just one of them to be unfulfilled, and his reputation is in tatters. But that will never happen. What Joshua told us, it is absolute. It is comprehensive. Every single promise that God has made, he will fulfill. Hold fast, because he's worth it. His word is a good foundation for us. And his son is the Savior we need. And he's calling you and me to faith and trust in him. That's what we saw. That's what we heard over the past weekend in our communion service. And so we come back right round to the beginning again. How much have we remembered? How much have we let slip? What have we been doing with what God has been giving to us? Not just simply today or last week, but think of all the different services that God has given to us. What have we done with what God has told us? How much of it are we holding on to our soul? When we've got nothing left, when we've got nothing left but God's word in our soul, in our hand, when we've got nothing left but God's word to lean on, we have enough. Because he is faithful and true, and his word is utterly reliable. We have this gospel then of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. The question is, what are we doing with it? Are we holding on to him? Are we sitting up or standing back? That's the question that comes to every one of us alone from God this morning. By a new and living way, let us hold fast the great privileges that God has given us. When he spoke with us, when he shared with us,
when he showed us this tremendous gospel of forgiveness in his own Son, who gave his life that we might live. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, the wonder of thy work in Christ thy Son is the constant attention of angels. Make it so with us also, Lord, that we might be spellbound and captivated by the things that we've heard and been taught of and shown for many a year. May these things come home to us today, perhaps for the first time, with power and with authority. Grant thy blessing upon every one of us. Lord, thou dost know our hearts, our fears, our doubts. Lord, thou dost know the things that possess us. But we bless thee for the one relationship that matters and is so vital. Faith in Jesus Christ. Bring us, Lord, to that experience, and may thy peace then possess us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 25 and at verse 4, Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in the truth therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. Thy tender mercies, Lord, I pray thee to remember, and loving kindnesses, for they have been of old forever. My sins and faults of youth, O, do thou, O Lord, forget. After thy mercy think on me, and for thy goodness great.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.